Now, I'm reading 21 verses from John. We think, oh my goodness, it's so long. It's like two commercials length. Really, we will survive. And the reason I want to read it, because I want to read the whole breadth of the story. We tend to read one little piece, and we don't put the others with it. I'm not going to preach on the whole text, but I want you to hear it. John 3, 1 through 21. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could do the signs you do apart from the presence of God. And Jesus answered him, notice he didn't ask a question, but Jesus answered him, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. And Nicodemus said to him, really, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit. And don't be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered him, you are a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, and yet you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things and you did not believe me, how can you believe when I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that God gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are already condemned because they have not believed in the name of the one Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come into the light, so that their deeds are not exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Now, I was planning to be in New Orleans the 4 days before Lent. And I had it worked out that I would still be back here in time for the Ash Wednesday service. My friend Peggy is a pastor there. She knew about where the parade routes would be. She knew where the best beignets are and where I could get stunning gumbo. But then life and church got in the way, and I decided it just wasn't a good time to go. Next year, that is where I will be. And so on Fat Tuesday, or Mardi Gras, the church took Brad and I to Brenda's in the Tenderloin to have a New Orleans lunch. And I had beignets and chicory coffee and shrimp and grits, and that made me a much happier person. That was probably good for you in the church. And they gave me some gold and green and purple Mardi Gras beads. And I wore them around the town, and what surprised me is it looked like I was like the only one who was wearing them. But it engaged people in conversation. They said, oh, you're wearing those bead things. And I said, yes, it's Mardi Gras. And then I began to tell them Mardi Gras is Fat Tuesday. It's the day when everyone eats all their fats and all the kind of rich stuff, because then you go into Ash Wednesday. And I talked about ashes. You put ashes on your forehead and say, from dust you come and from dust you shall return. Well, they thought I was a little crazy talking about Mardi Gras. And then I talked about Ash Wednesday and I talked about Lent. And I think they thought I was crazy. I didn't even explain Easter. But what I did like about it is it gave me a chance to say, yes, this is part of our tradition. And even if they thought I was a bit crazy, the truth is the Bible is full of crazy and surprising and provocative stories and concepts. And today's scripture is full of them, full of seeing and questioning and words that are provocative and surprising. And so is the response to them. I mean, here is Nicodemus. He is well established. He is successful. He's a religious leader in the community, and he goes to see Jesus in the dark of night. It's like he's sneaking in. Someone said he's like the original night stalker. I mean, he wants to talk to Jesus, but he doesn't want anyone to see him. He comes to see Jesus. We really don't know why, but he wants to know more about him or who he is. And he starts the conversation with kind of complimenting Jesus or an awareness of Jesus. He says, I know you're a great teacher and you could not have done the things you've done without God. Now that's a pretty provocative thing for a religious leader to say. It puzzles him, obviously, and he wants to know more from Jesus. And then Jesus answers a question he didn't ask. Or maybe he answered a question that he didn't know he could say out loud. Who are you and who am I? And Jesus says to him, very truly, I tell you, I tell you now, that you cannot see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Now, really, he may have had some unvoiced questions, but it was not, okay, how am I going to be born? That was not what Nicodemus was thinking. And the word born, it kind of threw Nicodemus, because there are three ways you can translate that. You can do being born again, anew, or from above. All of those nuances on it. And Nicodemus, he gets stuck on the born again, like physically born again, and he gets stuck there, so to say. I mean, really? Can a grown man go back in a mother's womb? Really? Are you crazy? And Jesus, he's talking about being born from above, being born anew. And really, that may be the crazier thinking in this. Jesus is playing with this image of birth. He is saying, you have to be a new person with your whole being. There is to be a rebirth of your faith, of your life, of the whole way you see the world and your relationship with God, and that comes from God above. I'm not just talking about a more faithful life, but I am talking about eternal life, of being in the presence of God now and always. Jesus is really saying to Nicodemus, you have been in the dark, and you think you've been in the light, but not so much. You have been growing and developing. It's true at this religious leader, but your faith is incomplete. It's even immature. Jesus likens this midnight encounter to a child being safe within its mother's womb. He's saying, you are still in the gestation period. And Jesus implies that you, Nicodemus, it's time for you to be born. You must declare your faith in the light of day, not hiding around in the darkness. See, Jesus doesn't want Nicodemus just part-time. He just doesn't want him to see or not be seen. He wants Nicodemus to expose himself totally to God's love. See, he wants him to move from the curious and the rational to becoming fully mature in his faith, to participate fully in the life that God offers. And Jesus knew that for Nicodemus and for us, we just cannot do that on our own. It's like God is the midwife. God gives birth in spirit and water. Rebirth, see, is God's gift to give, God's work to accomplish. And that is why God labors to bring us new life. I mean, that is really, this is what we're talking about? And I think, honestly, we kind of like our life safe, comprehensible, kind of a warm little secret between Jesus and us and maybe the people in the congregation. See, God wants us to move through the birth canal to a greater, mature, fullness, life, and salvation. I mean, God does not want these half kind of people that hide in the comfortable darkness. God wants all of our life, just not part of it. I mean, Nicodemus was cautious and careful and seeking. God says, I want more from you. I just don't want you in the dark. I want you full in the light. And John Calvin, who started the Presbyterian Church, when he was doing reform, there were lots of people that said, oh, I'm for you, but I'm just not going to say it publicly. I love the reforms, but I can't say anything about it because of my family or my job. And you know what he called them? He called them Nicomites. Nicomites, Nicodemus mites. And it was not a compliment. He goes, I want you to be a wholly committed to reform, just not a little bit. And he would say the Nicomites heirs was the Christian German church, who before World War II tried to do that balance of, I'm the church, but I'm not going to speak out about anti-Semitism, and I'm not going to speak out when the German government starts controlling the church. But a few brave ones wrote a declaration of faith that we find in our Barum Confession, Book of Order Confessions, I'd show it to you. Woo-woo, that's exciting. But this is what it said. As Jesus Christ is God's assurance of forgiveness for all our sins, so in the same way and with the same seriousness, he is also God's mighty claim upon our whole life. Jesus is God's mighty claim upon our whole life, not just a little bit, not just that hour in church. God wants our whole life. And really, God's getting a couple hours, and ain't that good enough? Have you seen the other people in San Francisco? They're not even giving you 2 or 3 hours on Sunday morning, and it's a nice day. God is saying, I don't want part-time disciples. I don't want unformed Christians. I want you to be fully born. Oh, I want you to live fully in Jesus Christ. And here's the part that makes me nervous about this image of being born from above. Birth is not easy. Now, you know, I've never been a mother, but the privilege of being a pastor is I get to be there when the first pangs come sometimes. And I've been there when that baby has come. Who isn't that beautiful? And I've been there when the struggle has been long, long, long. And the mother holds that child, and in that moment, all the work seems worth it. But the mother is still worn out. And I've seen the times when there has been a birth and the news has not been good. And I've seen those couples be able to have courage to have another child, to go through that again. See, the birthing process is not always easy, friends. And if we are open to God using us, we're going to have to birth a new thing in our lives and in this church. And I've been wrestling with that. I have to admit, as a pastor after 8 years, I think I'm sitting pretty comfortable right now. And I have this itch that God is saying, I'm going to use you. And I don't know where and how that is. I think the session, we're kind of working on that. We're hoping to be able to figure out where God is going to birth something in us. But what I hear, I want you to pray for me because I'm wrestling with this. And I think we all are seeking to follow God. And if we're not, we're kind of faking it. Maybe we're in the dark and maybe God will bring us out. And we do this because God so loved the world that all may live, that all may hear new life. Do you hear in this? This love of God for us, that is strong. For God so loved the world, so loved us, so loved everyone, that we are invited into that love, that birthing story. Now, I have to admit, when I was a young woman, I was walking down at Fisherman's Wharf, probably in junior high, and this good-looking young man, I think he was like Campus Crusade, something, said, "Have you been saved? Have you been born again?" Oh. And I knew the answer he wanted because he was cute. And I loved Jesus. I really did. But I thought he was a hottie. So I said, "Yes, I have. I have been born again. I have been saved." And you know what? It wasn't such a bad answer, but it was only half an answer. I need to long to be born from a God above and then seek God's Spirit and power to help me with that. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not like, ooh, you passed that. You go into the right corner. Mm-mm-mm. This is a whole lifelong. And in this season of Lent, we really think about how do we open ourselves to God? How do we get in that right path? How do we follow the life? If you want to use that image, how do we get in the canal and get ourselves out? And that's what Sarah Miles is talking about in the book City of God. She said, repentance means turning towards human beings, that world that God so loved, your own flesh and blood, whether they're oppressed or hungry in prison. It means acting with compassion instead of indifference. It means turning away, fasting from the little and big things that keep us from God. Drugs, religion, busyness, video games, lies. Did you get that? Religion? Ooh. And accepting the divine embrace with all our hearts. Repentance means paying attention to others, learning to love, even a little bit, what God loves so much. The whole screwed up world, this holy city, the people God created to be his own. Oh my goodness, that's what we're taking on this Lent, this day, this lifetime. You know, it is crazy. The people in the coffee shop said, this sounds a little weird, and they're right. People of faith, people who wander, people who doubt, people who are unsure, there is this invitation. God loves the world. God loves you so much. God wants you out of the dark, fully born. So let's be brave, and let's seek to be born anew from God through the Holy Spirit. Amen.